Shortly after submitting a proposal, I gave a talk on developmental trauma disorder in Washington, D.C., to a meeting of the mental health commissioners from across the country. They offered to support our initiative by writing a letter to the APA. The letter began by pointing out that the National Association of State Mental Health Program Directors served 6.1 million people annually with a budget of $29.5 billion and concluded, "We urge the APA to add developmental trauma to its list of priority areas to clarify and better characterize its course and clinical sequelae, and to emphasize the strong need to address developmental trauma in the assessment of patients." I felt confident that this letter would ensure that the APA would take our proposal seriously. But several months after our submission, Matthew Friedman, executive director of the National Center for PTSD and chair of the relevant DSM subcommittee, informed us that DTD was unlikely to be included in the DSM-5. The consensus, he wrote, was that no new diagnosis was required to fill a missing diagnostic niche. 1 million children who are abused and neglected every year in the United States, a diagnostic niche? The letter went on, "The notion that early childhood adverse experiences lead to substantial developmental disruptions is more clinical intuition than a research-based fact. This statement is commonly made but cannot be backed up by prospective studies." In fact, we had included several prospective studies in our proposal. Let's look at just two of them here. How relationships shape development. Beginning in 1975 and continuing for almost 30 years, Alan Sroff and his colleagues tracked 180 children and their families through the Minnesota Longitudinal Study of Risk and Adaptation. At the time the study began, there was an intense debate about the role of nature versus nurture, and temperament versus environment in human development, and this study set out to answer those questions. Trauma was not yet a popular topic, and child abuse and neglect were not a central focus of this study, at least initially, until they emerged as the most important predictors of adult functioning. Working with local medical and social agencies, the researchers recruited first-time Caucasian mothers who were poor enough to qualify for public assistance, but who had different backgrounds and different kinds and levels of support available for parenting. The study began 3 months before the children were born and followed the children for 30 years into adulthood, assessing and, where relevant, measuring all the major aspects of their functioning and all the significant circumstances of their lives. It considered several fundamental questions. How did children learn to pay attention while regulating their arousal, that is, avoiding extreme highs or lows, and keeping their impulses under control? What kinds of supports do they need, and when are these needed?